There's no doubt about it. The world of the paranormal can be insanely confusing. And if you have experienced any sort of activity and you try to talk about it with people, you can be looked at by your friends as being insane sometimes, depending on the outlook that your friends have on the topic. But to those of us who've had those sort of experiences know all too well that it was very real. But it can be a hard thing to grasp and to discuss and to really, you know, work through. I mean, things that happen to us in life that are not paranormal can be hard enough to talk about and work through. More or less put the stigma on it where people are going to say, I don't believe in that, then completely discount your experience just because of the way it occurred in ways that others may not accept as being real because they've never experienced them. It doesn't make them any less real, though. And as you know, by listening to the show, hopefully for some time, this is a safe place to share those stories and to get them out with a like-minded community that has experienced similar things. You're not going to be judged. Today's show is no different. We have some very good stories. First off, we're going to take a look at a ghost, a spirit, that is rather hard to identify the origins of. It's coming across as a child, but those that hear about it, that experience it, question, is it truly what it appears to be, or is it something much darker? Then we're going to visit a church that has some negative energy attached to it, to try to figure out what is the dark entity that follows one young person around as they try to do some summer work inside and around that building. Those stories today on EPP bonus episode number 362 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. The ghost of a child can be very compelling. It's something where when you see a child, a living child, you're going to be inclined to help them if they are in need, if they're lost, if they're by themselves, they don't have their parental figures around them. You want to help to get them to where they need to be so they're safe. A ghost child is really kind of the same sort of thing. If you have a parental bone in your body, you're going to feel the same way. But what is it when you see the ghost of a child in your home, in multiple homes, on job sites, wherever you go? And the information you're getting from what will be trusted sources varies greatly. Some saying, help the child go into the light. Others say, don't interact, because that may not be a child at all. That's what our next listener's letter struggles with. Take a listen. I am being tormented. This has been going on for over a year now. It started in February of 2020 on a Friday night. I went to bed around 11 and woke up in the middle of the night. I reached over to grab my phone to see the time, and it was 2:59. And a second later, it ticked to 3 a.m. and in that moment I had a vision of a small child standing at my bedroom door. I quickly reached over to turn the light on, and every hair on my body stood up. I was truly terrified as I pulled a pistol from my nightstand and got up. I walked to my door and peeked around the corner, and the child ran down the hall and hid in the kitchen. I slowly walked towards the kitchen, turning on lights as I went, and when I got to the kitchen, the child ran and hid in the bathroom. It was like a game of hide and seek, but I never went to the bathroom to look. I went back to my room and stayed up the rest of the night. At 7 a.m., I called my brother and told him what happened, and he said it was all in my head and to just forget about it. I went about my day and did not think much of it until I got home. I could feel something watching me from that bathroom. I was uneasy all evening and kept telling myself it was not real. I went to my room and fell asleep. I woke up again in the middle of the night and reached over to look at my phone. And deja vu. It was 3 a.m., and the vision hit me hard. A child standing just around the corner of my bedroom door, just like the night before. I got up and the child ran towards the kitchen. I slowly walked, turning on lights, and when I got to the kitchen, the child hid in the bathroom. I went back to my room and stayed up all night again. I never felt terror like that, ever. And I've never had a paranormal experience or even believed ghosts were real. At around 7 a.m., I called my mother and told her what happened. The last two nights, she quickly said, "Stop joking around," and asked if I talked to my grandmother. I told her I was not joking, and I was truly terrified, and no, I did not talk to Grandma. She told me that Grandma woke up just after 3 a.m. last night to a little girl crying in the hallway. I froze in fear. "What the heck is going on?" I told Mom. "I'll call her back." I was going to call my brother. I called my brother, and he answered, saying, "I knew you were going to call." He said he had the worst nightmare of his life. In his dream, he woke up and heard a noise in the basement, so he walked downstairs. When he got to the bottom of the stairs, the basement started filling up with water, so he turned around to go back up, and on the stairs was a little girl. His hair was flowing in front of her face, reaching out for him, trying to smother him with her hair. He woke up and screamed, "Mom!" I could feel the fear in his voice. I told him that the same thing happened to me again, and that Grandma woke up to a child crying. We all had an experience with a little girl in three different homes in the same night, and that's just the beginning. I got in my truck and had to drive about an hour to look at a job. I'm a hardwood flooring contractor. My mother, brother, and I were group texting trying to figure out what was going on. My mother is a deeply religious person, and she started to pray. Then she said she knows a woman who is involved in the paranormal stuff and called her. A few minutes later, she was in our group text telling us what to do. She told us to call upon Archangel Michael and Gabriel to bring the child to the light. At this point, I'm about 30 minutes into my drive, and I start praying, telling the girl to go to the light. Then I felt a breath on the back of my neck, and I clenched my steering wheel and screamed from the top of my lungs. I continued to pray out loud, and I said, "Go to the light, Alina." Without even a thought, I said a name. I started shaking so bad, I had to pull over to the side of the highway. I'm not sure how it's spelled out, but the name I said was Alina. I'm a 36-year-old and I've never been so terrified in my life. Later that day, when I got home, I asked my mother to meet me there and pray with me. And then we did the same thing at my brother's house and my mother's place. That evening, I called a friend who is Native American and told her what was going on. She told me to cleanse the house and smudge it. I have never heard of smudging before, but I would try anything to make this go away. I went to my room and finally fell asleep with the lights on. I had a nightmare and woke up in the middle of the night. In the dream, I saw a woman standing over a bathtub and a small girl laying on her back in the tub full of water. The woman put her hands on the child's chest and pushed her under the water. The girl's hair drifted over her face when she was submerged. I stayed up the rest of the night, just froze in my bed completely numb. When I finally got out of bed around 6 a.m., I walked into the living room, and both my computer monitors were turned on. I stood staring at the monitors, thinking an image was going to appear, but nothing happened. I then started to think that this girl was asking for help to solve her murder, and I needed to do research on the computer. I had to go to work. So I walked over, turned the monitors off. I began to pray, saying, "Please find someone else to do this. My brain does not comprehend this kind of stuff, and it really messes with me." I then started talking to the girl and said, "Please do not show yourself to me and I will help. It's Monday, and I had subcontracted a job about 30 minutes away in the country, and I have never met the customers. When I got to the job, a man with long white hair was standing outside his adobe-style home. I got out of the truck, and he started talking to me like we were best friends. He told me to come inside, and when he opened the front door, his wife was standing there. She was Native American, and behind her was a shrine of Indian artifacts. That's where we have to pause the preview portion of EPP bonus episode number 362 of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like to hear the rest of the story, please become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You'll get access to the rest of this episode. And get this, all 362 bonus episodes of the show. It's amazing. There's some podcasts out there where there's only 362 regular episodes of the show. That's just the bonus stuff that you get. You also, of course, get access to all of our archive of episodes, thousands of episodes to binge away on, quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, as well as advanced episodes of the show, and all of it commercial free. So if you like the show, you want to listen with no ads, that's the way to do it. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or through the Patreon app, patreon.com/realghoststories. Your support is what keeps us on the air. Check it out and help us keep doing this thing called Real Ghost Stories Online at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Real Ghost.